So today is the celebration of. Today's celebration is called Shiva Ratri. It's a time when Nanda Maharaj and some of the cowherd boys went to visit Ambikavan and to honor Lord Shiva on this day. So we'll speak a little bit about Lord Shiva. It's not an easy topic because Lord Shiva is in different categories. He is sometimes worshipped as a supreme god. Sometimes he is a demigod. And for us, he is the best of all Vaishnavas. And he plays all those roles. And in those roles, he has many ways of functioning, which are quite extraordinary and unique to Lord Shiva himself. So we'll begin. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Yade Satarine Vanchakalpa Tiruvischa Kriva Sindhu Pevacha Titanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namaho Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from 12th Canto, chapter 13, verse 16. It's just a verse, there's no purport, but we can read. Nimna Ganga Yata Gangahan Devanam Achyuta Yata Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu Parananam Idam Tataha Nimna Gangam Yata Ganga Devanam Achyuta Yata Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu Purananam Idam Tataha. Flowing down to the sea. Yata. As. Ganga. The Ganges. Devanam. Of all deities. Achyuta. The infallible supreme personality of Godhead. Yata. As. Vaishnavanam. Of devotees of Lord Vishnu, Yata, as Shambhu, Shiva, Purananam, of Puranas, Idam, this, Tata, similarly. Translation, As the Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, the supreme among deities, and Lord Shambhu Shiva, the greatest of Vaishnavas, so Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. Mm-hmm. So here, using this verse as authority, it's saying that of all the Puranas, the best is Srimad Bhagavatam, and therefore Srimad Bhagavatam says, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, that all the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva, is the greatest, the best. But Lord Shiva is seen in many ways. It's very difficult to understand his position because he plays many roles. We have on our altar, we have Sri Advaita Acharya, who is a combination manifestation of Mahavishnu and Sada Shiva, the original Shiva. There is original Shiva from the spiritual world, and that original Shiva assists Mahavishnu in the process of creation. It's an interesting way it's explained. When it's time for the next manifestation to unfold, the Lord creates out of his own personal energies the elements of creation, such as earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. And all that is in a what is called aggregate state. That means it's more like all together. There's no separation of the elements in an individual way. Now, when the Lord wants the creation to manifest again, he glances in that direction, which is called the Pradhan. The Pradhan is the aggregate. And that glance does not go directly to the Pradhan, but it's carried by Ramadevi. Ramadevi is the consort of Mahavishnu, who was an expansion of Lakshmi Devi, Mahalakshmi. So she takes that glance and carries it to the Pradhan, and then in that glance there are three elements. All the living entities, they're there, all the jiva souls. There is the time factor, which makes up the elements that measure the material energy. And there is Shiva, in Sadashiva. And so the color, or the glance itself, has a very bright glow. And that glow is like a halo. If you know what a halo is, yeah. Halo is like a bright light coming out of the body. And that bright light is Shiva. So that's why it is sometimes said that Lord Shiva is the father of all living entities, because he assists in the creation by carrying the living entities and the time factor with the assistance of Ramadevi to the creative elements, and then the jivas connect with the creative elements, and then Lord Brahma appears, and then by his direction that he receives from Lord Vishnu, he puts it all together and forms the 8,400,000 species of life, and puts the jivas in those different bodies according to their karma from their last manifestation. So it's all mentioned. Mostly in Brahma Samhita this is mentioned, but it's also mentioned in the second and also part of the third canto of Bhagavatam. So it's interesting, Lord Shiva plays that role. So it's called Sadashiva. But the Shiva that we know, or the pastimes that we hear, are the Shiva that manifests himself as the principal functionary Shiva in this universe, because there is a Shiva for every universe, like that. As Brahma is opposed, so is Lord Shiva opposed. So, and there is different conceptions how people worship Shiva. Many persons worship Shiva as the Supreme Lord, because there are Puranas that glorify Lord Shiva as the Supreme. But that's meant for certain people who are on the lower modes, such as the modes of passion and ignorance, so they can worship a pure devotee of the Lord, a great devotee of the Lord, an empowered person, and then raise themselves up to a higher level of worship. And there's those who worship him as a demigod for material benefits. Such persons were Ravana, he wished to worship Shiva. Banasura worshipped Shiva. They were two that really worshipped Shiva, but then there was others, demons, who also worshipped Shiva for material benediction, such as Vikrasura. Vikrasura is mentioned in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in an interesting way, because there's always arguments amongst the Vaishnavas and the Shivites, who's superior? Is it Vishnu or is it Shiva? There's a beautiful story in the pastimes of Ramanujacharya where one deity was being worshipped in the temple, and the Shivites were saying that it was Shiva, and others were saying it was Vishnu. So there was a big fight, discussion, you know how intellectuals fight. We do that in ISKCON. It's called an ISKCON resolve, but it's usually ISKCON unresolve. Well, that's another story. And so Ramanujacharya said, we will put the symbols of Lord Shiva and the symbols of Lord Vishnu at the feet of the deity, and tomorrow we will come and see which symbols the deity is wearing. And they locked the door so nobody could get in, and they put the symbols there. So the next day when they opened the door, the deity was holding the symbols of Vishnu. Like that. And in this story with Vikrasura was one of the most low-class demons. I mean, there's some good demons who have some brains, but this guy was really stupid. I mean, he was the lowest. So he wanted power, so he worshipped Lord Shiva. And you can do that, worship Lord Shiva for power. So what he was doing, he was chanting mantras to Shiva, and he was cutting off his flesh and throwing it into the fire, at the same time worshipping Lord Shiva with mantras. And so he was determined, and pretty soon, you know, he would have been throwing his whole body into the fire. So Shiva saw that this guy is a rascal, but still, he came to him and said, all right, what do you want? So he appears, and Vikrasura said, he honored Lord Shiva, and he said, actually, I want the benediction that anybody's head I touch will crack. And tatastu, that means he gave it to him. He awarded him the benediction. So as soon as he did that, the demon had been looking at Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva, so he was getting a little lusty for Parvati. So he was thinking, I got to get rid of Shiva so I can get Parvati. So then, now having that benediction, he came at Shiva to touch Shiva's head. And Shiva realized, I better get out of here. So he fled. And the demon followed him. So it was a chase. So at one point, Lord Vishnu appeared in one place, and Shiva was running, and he came past that place where Lord Vishnu was. And Shiva kept running, and then Lord Vishnu used his Yogamaya powers, or Mahamaya powers. And he stopped the demon. He said, what are you doing? Well, I got this benediction. Anybody's head I touch will crack, and I'm going to use it on Shiva. Where did you get the benediction? From Lord Shiva. Really? Lord Shiva is not well these days, and he gives out benedictions that just doesn't work. So it doesn't work. And I can prove it to you. So he uses Yogamaya potency. He says, just touch your own head and you'll see it doesn't work. So he did, and boom, his head cracked to pieces. And then Lord Shiva was saved by Lord Vishnu. So in that story, which is in the 10th canto, again, it shows the superior position of Lord Vishnu over Lord Shiva. It says that when Lord Vishnu wants to destroy, he becomes Lord Shiva. When he wants to create, he becomes Lord Brahma. And as Lord Vishnu, he maintains. So the Lord transforms himself into these different devas for the sake of creation and destruction. Like that. But he's above all these demigods at the same time. There's a beautiful verse, because people argue, and you'll find this a lot, not here, but people in India, they'll always say that Shiva's superior and Vishnu's superior. They'll go back and forth. But there's a verse that it says in the Brahma Samhita, I think I have the verse here, and I'll read it, because it's a beautiful verse.
Shiram yatadahik vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate natataha pratag asti heto yam sambutam apitata samupaiti karyad govindam hari purusham tamaham bhajami.
Translation: just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect of curd is neither same as nor different from its cause, milk, so I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. This is just what we were saying. So milk and yogurt is just nothing but milk, that's all it is. But it can't be used as milk because it has a different consistency. So that is the difference between Shiva and Vishnu. They are the same, but there is a slight difference, and that is in the functions. That is in the functions. And of course, Lord Shiva plays the role of the demigod many times. Lord Shiva worships... He worships Ram, and he worships Krishna too. In the 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 24th chapter of that canto, there's a whole series. It's one of the longest chapters in the Bhagavatam. There's about 78 verses, and it's all Shiva's prayers to Lord Vishnu, like that. Krishna, Vishnu. It's a beautiful chapter, and so much beautiful Sanskrit that has been used to glorify Lord Vishnu in that Bhagavatam section. Lord Shiva one time wanted to take part in the rasa dance, because he heard that, you know, this is the Krishna dances with his gopis. And he wanted to actually enter into the rasa dance. But, so he decided, so he went to Vrindavan around that time, because Krishna dances twice a year, usually, in the spring and then in the fall, like that. And he performs the dance slightly different in each time. So he was there, and he was thinking to come to the rasa dance, but he was met by Radharani's girlfriend, Lalita. So Lalita said, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to come to the rasa dance. No men allowed. Only for the ladies. And you're in the wrong body, so you can't come. But then he was begging. She said, all right, if you want to come, you have to become a gopi. He said, I'll become a gopi. What do I do? She said, all right. She took him down to one kund, special kund. She said, you bathe in this kund, and then when you come out, you will be a gopi. So he did. He went in and he came out. And there he was. He was a little smaller in size. And he had a little, he still had his little crescent moon on his forehead. And then he came to the Rasa dance, and Krishna was there, and Krishna started laughing. Who's this gopi? You know, he looks quite funny. I never saw this one before. And then he realized, because he saw the moon, and he said, oh, it's Shiva. All right, Shiva, since you tried so hard, but we can't let you dance with the Rasa dance, it's not for you. But sometimes people try to disturb my pastimes, so you should guard it. So he became what is called Dikpala. Dikpala means one who gives protection in different directions. Pala means protection. Dik means directions like that. So he was given the position to guard the Rasa dance, and that was the best he could get, which was pretty good. There's another story when Sanatana Goswami was doing his bhajan on the outskirts of Manasi Ganga, and he was writing and he was praying, but there was a problem. One in the evening time, the mosquitoes would come and they would bother Sanatana Goswami. And so you know what mosquitoes are like, right? Those of you who've been to India, you have good experiences with mosquitoes. And so, So Sanatana Goswami was thinking, it's very difficult for me to concentrate on my writing with these mosquitoes. So I think I'm going to leave this place. So I'll leave tomorrow. And so Lord Shiva's temple is right there. It's called Chakaleshwara Mahadev. You can still see it. There's 8 lingas there. So Lord Shiva, knowing that Sanatana Goswami was planning to leave, he decided to do something. So he disguised himself as a brahmana, and he came, and he started to speak to Sanatana. And then he said at one point, you know, I know the mosquitoes are bothering you, and you want to leave, but I assure you, just stay another night, and you'll see there will be no more mosquitoes. So Sanatana was convinced, and so he stayed. And after that, there was no more mosquitoes. Because Shiva, he went to the demigod who is in charge with charge of mosquitoes, and he said, keep your mosquitoes away from Sanatana. So there's the demigod in charge of everything. And to this day, you can go to that same spot where Sanatana Goswami meditates. In that place, there is no mosquitoes, even today. So it's interesting how Lord Shiva wanted to keep the association of Sanatana Goswami, so he performed that pastime. Lord Shiva is Dhira. He's not disturbed. He's not disturbed. He's equipoised in all cases. When Daksha came into the Yajna arena, which was an arena that was about to perform a great sacrifice, all the demigods were there. The chief demigods were there, including Lord Brahma. Lord Shiva was also there. Daksha is the progenitor, and his service is to produce living entities. He is very sexually inclined, and he can produce thousands of children. No problem. And that's his service. But he is also has many, many outstanding qualities. So at one point, Daksha entered into the arena, and all the devas, when they saw Daksha, they got up to welcome him. They all immediately, just like automatic, they got up to welcome Daksha. Because he was very handsome, very intelligent, and had many, many outstanding qualities. But there's one problem he had. He was proud. Although he was so qualified, he was also a little proud of his qualifications. And so, when he walked in, everyone stood up, but Lord Shiva didn't. Lord Shiva was in meditation. And so, he just, you know, continued his meditation. And Daksha was offended because everybody stood up and welcomed him, but Shiva didn't. And so he turned his attention to Shiva and started criticizing Shiva for the way he looks, because, you know, he dresses with snakes, and he has ashes all over his body coming from crematoriums. You know, he's not a fellow you see on the street every day, you know. Maybe some people try to imitate him, but... And so he found fault. And then he also had a little problem with Shiva before that, because his father is Brahma. Daksha's father is Lord Brahma. So Brahma told Daksha that you give your 13th daughter, he had 16 daughters, your 13th daughter to Lord Shiva for marriage, and that was Sati. So he didn't like the idea, but because he couldn't disobey Lord Brahma, who was his father and powerful demigod, he did it. But he always felt that he didn't want to do it, but he obeyed. Now here was a chance to find fault with Lord Shiva, and he started criticizing Lord Shiva. When that has happened, the whole assembly became disrupted. And some people walked out of the assembly, some of the devas. Others started to speak in favor of Daksha, and others started to speak in favor of Lord Shiva. So it became. And finally, the whole assembly was destroyed, and the yajna didn't go on. Shiva, he knew Daksha was just an arrogant fool, so he didn't really take it so seriously. But then there was another yajna that was coming up to begin again. They were going to try and begin again. And Daksha was also going to come. Now, Daksha's daughter, Sati, was married to Shiva. And Shiva had instructed her, don't go to the yajna, because if you do, you'll see that I'll be criticized by your father, and that will be worse than death for you. But Sati was attached. She was attached to the idea of going and socializing with her friends and being there with her family. You know, the whole idea of having a good time, social. And so Shiva warned her, don't go. You'll be sorry if you go. You know, I'll be criticized, and that'll be worse than death for you. But she didn't listen. And she went anyway. And as soon as she got there, Daksha started to criticize her by criticizing Lord Shiva. Sati became so angry because she's the personification of the material energy. She has the power to burn the whole material energy. Her expansion is Durga Devi. And so... when that happened, Sachi just decided to give up her... She said, this body has been given to me by you, and therefore I want nothing to do with you. So she decided to get rid of her body. So she sat down in mystic meditation and meditated on the fiery element in her body, and she burned her whole body to ashes right in front of everybody. And Daksha didn't really do anything. Everybody was shocked. When Shiva heard that, he sent one powerful demon. A series of demons called the Ribbus. And they came in and they just wreaked havoc with the whole assembly. It was a big fight. And, you know, one demigod called Pusha, he got his teeth knocked out. Bhrigu, he also got into a fight with Bhrigu. So it was a big fight. And at one point, they cut off the head of Daksha. And then they replaced his head with the head of a goat. And then, of course, after doing that, he became a little humble. Yeah, now he was the same daksha with a head of a goat. Of course, you can read the whole pastime. It's in the fourth canto. The first seven chapters of the fourth canto describe this whole pastime. But then he surrendered to Shiva and offered prayers to Shiva, and he apologized for everything. Shiva forgave him. But then again, after some time, you read in the sixth canto how he criticized Narada Muni too. So he's back at it again. So you have to be careful when you criticize great souls. You can have your head as a goat, maybe. It's not so nice. And so that's one of the wonderful pastimes of Lord Shiva. But then he was without his consort. Sati had gone, but then she reappeared as the daughter of the Himalayas, and her name was Parvati. So then he was again united with his eternal consort. So first she was Parvati, and then she became... first she was Sati, then she became Parvati, like that. There are many beautiful stories. One time Lord Shiva was sitting with his wife in the forest. And, you know, he was in loving affairs with his wife, and his wife was somewhat indisposed, to use a word. And Suyagya was a soldier, and he came with his small army, just some soldiers on horses, and they entered into the forest. And Parvati, she became upset because these men had come into the forest. So she complained to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva made a vow that any male that comes into this forest will become a female. So when Suyagya and his armies came into the forest, they were riding on the horses, and then all of a sudden they looked, and they had women's bodies. Their bodies immediately changed into ladies. Some people might think that's pretty good. Others might think otherwise. But anyway, you can think whatever way you like. That's up to you. But that's one of the pastimes. Lord Shiva's abode is called Kailash. There is another verse. Goloka namna nijatam itale tatasya Devi mahesha haridame suteshu teshu Te te prabhava nichaya vihitas chayena Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Lowest of all is located Devi Dham. Next above is Mahesh Dham. Above Mahesh Dham is the place called Haridham. Above Haridham and above them all is located Krishna's own realm, Goloka. I adore the primeval Lord, Lord Govinda, who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of the different graded realms. So we say there are three realms of existence. There's the material realm, spiritual realm, and then Shiva's realm. So that's Mahesh Dham, Shiva, Hari Dham, spiritual world. Devi Dham is this world. Devi Dham means Durga Dham. So Shiva's abode is between the material and spiritual worlds. So the universes are covered by different layers of material energy. And as you go outside of the universes, the layers become thicker and thicker and thicker. Each layer is 10 times thicker, till you pass through all the layers, and all these are different elements of the material energy: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. When you get past all these layers, then you're outside of the universe, and you come to an area of complete darkness. There's nothing there. And if you were to travel higher and higher up, it doesn't, doesn't really tell you. It does tell you how far, but I can't remember the actual. So many billions and billions of miles. You travel up farther, then you come to an area that is all light, beautiful light. And that light is Maheshtam. That's where Lord Shiva exists. He gets that light from the spiritual world, which is coming from the Brahma Jyoti, and that lights up Maheshtam. And that's a very opulent place where my Lord Shiva is. So those who actually worship Lord Shiva with devotion may attain his abode in Maheshtam like that. But Prabhupada explains to us, we worship Lord Shiva as a devotee of Lord Krishna. And by worshiping Lord Shiva, he brings us to Krishna. So those devotees who worship Lord Shiva should be encouraged to worship him as, you know, as a devotee of Lord Krishna. And that way they'll make advancement. Because it says when you worship the devotee of the Lord, it's actually higher than worshiping the Lord himself. It's actually higher. And Shiva makes that point in one verse. Tadiyanam samarchanam. Param Devi. What is that? Niyataram Devi. Araranam sarvesham Vishnu. Yeah. Araranam sarvesham Vishnu. Araranam param. Tadiyanam samarchanam. That the highest worship, this is spoken by Lord Shiva, the highest worship is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with Vishnu. But higher than that is Tadiya. Tadiya means in relationship to. So those things that are in relationship to the Lord is a higher form of worship. And then in that verse, purport is mentioned like Tulsi Devi, Srimad Bhagavatam, this pure devotee spiritual master, like that. These are indications of Tadiya for those in relation. So although we worship the Supreme Lord, still higher than that is to worship those pure elements that are in connection like that, especially Tulsi Devi. Many, many beautiful stories about Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was the guru of Ravana. He defeated Ravana when Ravana tried to uproot Shiva's abode. He came to the place of Kailash, and using his 10 hands, he tried to pick up, you know, Kailash Mountain and throw it. Shiva knew what was going on, so he pushed his foot down on the ground, and the whole earth went down, and the 10 hands of Ravana got stuck underneath, and he couldn't move. So Ravana stuck, and then he started to offer beautiful prayers to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was pleased and came, and he relieved him of his suffering, and he said, because you pleased me so nicely with these prayers, ask for anything you want. And the Lord gave him, he asked for a particular weapon. I can't remember. I don't think it was the Pashupati. That's the Lord Shiva's prize weapon, Pashupati. But was one of a particular weapon that he gave Ravana. So Ravana always worshipped Lord Shiva. Demons do that. I mean, you see Banasura worship Lord Shiva. Haranikashipu worship Lord Brahma. So these devas are worshipped about demons themselves, you know, a lot of them are demons. Because they give benedictions, material benedictions, they're obliged. So when there was a fight between Lord Ram and Ravana, and Ravana was being defeated, Parvati said to Shiva, Shiva, your devotee is in trouble, go save him. And Shiva said, normally I would, but not in this case. Brahma bole chaturmukhe Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Mahadeva panchamukhe Rama Rama Hare Hare. So Brahma, he worships Krishna, and Shiva worships Ram. He's a Ram Bhakta, but he also worships Vishnu and Krishna also. But he's mostly a Ram Bhakta. So when Ravana was killed by Ram, Ram was thinking, well, I killed the disciple of Lord Shiva, therefore I should worship Lord Shiva to make some amends. And of course Ravana was also a Brahmana. So the Lord was thinking, I should worship Lord Shiva. So he told Hanuman, Hanuman, you go to Kailash Mountain and you get the Shiva Linga and bring it back, and we'll perform a ceremony to honor Lord Shiva. So Hanuman left, but he was gone for a long time and didn't come back. And then the brahmanas who were doing the puja, they said, my dear Lord, the time for the puja is now. If we wait any longer, it'll be inauspicious. So what to do? Hanuman didn't come back. So Sita said, well, I will make a Shiva Linga. So she took her own hands, and with sand, she formed a beautiful single Shiva Linga. Then Ram and all the brahmanas, they did that puja to that Shiva Linga. And just at the time the whole puja was over, Hanuman came back with two Shiva Lingas. And when Hanuman saw what had happened, he was so unhappy. Because that means he failed on his mission. He went to get the Shiva Linga, but because he was late, and he saw the worship was over, he was so unhappy. But Ram said to Hanuman, Hanuman, we will establish a temple here, and we will put your Shiva Lingas in the temple and worship them along with Sita's. So there's a beautiful temple in Rameshwar. You go there, I was there. And there's two Shiva Lingas of Hanuman and one of Sita, the one she made. It's made out of sand. But that one is on the altar, and you can't get too close to it. You can see it. It's white in color. And then the other two Shiva Lingas are, there's one by the door when you come in, and there's another one where you can circumambulate. These are the two. So everyone is mostly worshiping the two Shiva Lingas that Hanuman brought back. And Lord Ram did that just to please Hanuman because he worked so hard, but he was unhappy he didn't come back in time. So people misunderstand that pastime and say, well, this is proof that Shiva is superior than Ram because Ram performed this worship of Shiva. But actually it wasn't. They don't know the reason behind it. He did that just to please Lord Shiva because he had killed his disciple, Ravana. But ultimately we understand that Shiva is the disciple of Ram and not the other way around. And still to this day people will take that pastime and turn it around and say this is a proof that, you know, Shiva is superior than Ram. But even Krishna worshipped his devotee. That doesn't mean his devotee he worshipped King Yudhisthira. And that doesn't mean King Yudhisthira was greater than Krishna. So sometimes the Lord worships his devotee. And sometimes people misunderstand like that. So these are some of the few of the wonderful pastimes of Lord Shiva. I'll tell one last pastime. I can't forget it, this one, because we have Panchatattva here. So one day, Shiva was chanting, Gauranga! 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 And he was dancing and dancing and dancing! And he was in ecstasy, just chanting, Gauranga! 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 And Parvati came along. my Lord, I never saw you like this. Who is this Gauranga? You're dancing. Tell me, tell me, tell me. Oh, finally he said, oh. That's all he said. No, he said more than that. He said, soon he will appear in a place called Navadvip. And then he explained, he will be golden in color, and he will enunciate the chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna and spread it all over the world. And so Parvati got interested. I'm going to find out more. So she went to Navadvip, and she started to pray and perform austerities for a long time. Finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to her. And as soon as she saw that beautiful golden form, she recognized him as that person she was praying to. And she bowed down and offered her obeisances. And then she took some dust from his feet and she put it on the part, because the ladies, they have the part in here. You have the part there? Okay. Where's your part? Is it in the middle or on the side? Make sure it's in the middle. It should be in the middle, because if you part your hair in the middle, that means you are married. If you part your hair on your side, it means you're a prostitute. So be careful. Yeah, that's why they, that's how they tell ladies in India. The hair in the middle is a married woman, on the side is a prostitute. Yeah. So there's so many signs that indicate a person's, you know, occupation. So she took the dust and put it, now that part is called Simanta. It's called the Simanta. So that area became Srimantadvip. So we know that area today as Srimantadvip. And in that area, there's a beautiful Shiva Linga. Not beautiful, it's big. Big Shiva Linga. So every year, probably on this day, the devotees from Mayapur go and we do a grand ceremony to honor Lord Shiva in that place. It's right next to the Jagannath Temple in Rajpur. And we speak about Lord Shiva, and then we have Krishna Kirtan, and then at the end is a beautiful, beautiful Abhishek with garlands and tulsi leaves and so many nice substances, and that Abhishek goes on for a long time. Every year when I'm there, I usually take part in the Abhishek, and I usually get all my clothes turned into something else. I get fully wet with Abhishek. Looks like I got the bath, but it's because it's such a big linga that the devotees, when they pour it, it splashes all over, you know. So, but it's an ecstasy, and the devotees are watching, and we take the garlands and throw it out to the devotees, and so. But that's a very special place. You could go and still see that Shiva Linga there. It's right near the Rajpur Temple. So there's a connection between Lord Shiva and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Panchatattva Ki Jai. One time Lord Chaitanya went into the ecstasy of Lord Shiva and he started to dance like Lord Shiva. And that's another pastime. Huh? What is it called? Bhuvaneshwar? I'm not sure where it took place, but Bhuvaneshwar is named after Lord Shiva. Yeah. That's that. Out of all the places in India that I know of, Bhuvaneshwar is just full of Shiva temples, Shiva pastimes. Everything about that place is Lord Shiva, Bhuvaneshwar. Okay, so these are a few of the unlimited pastimes of Lord Shiva. So would anyone would like to make any comments or questions?
I heard a few times that Sada Shiva is Vishnu Tattva. Is that the case or not?
Well, yeah, I think so. Yeah, it is the case. But for the sake of function, he performs a certain activity, and he is known as Sadashiva. Yeah. Sadashiva means the original Shiva. He has, as described by the Acharyas, there is a Vaikuntha planet in the spiritual world where that Sadashiva resides. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
What about Hanuman? I also heard that he's also...
He's one of the Arudras. In the Mohini Murti incarnation, when Shiva was chasing after Mohini Murti, and then he lost his potency, that potency was taken and given to Anjana, and that was the birth of Hanuman. So Hanuman is actually a son of Shiva, and he's categorized as one of the 11 Rudras. There's 11 Rudras. So Hanuman takes birth in different ways. Sometimes he's Keshari Putra. Keshari was his father, and Anjana was his mother. But he has the same mother, Anjana, in each manifestation. But in one of those manifestations, he is the son of Lord Shiva. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in Kurukshetra, there is a five-headed Lord Shiva, deity, and one of the heads is Hanuman. Beautiful. You go there. Yeah. So Hanuman is very much connected to Lord Shiva. Yeah. But he's classified as a Rudra in that case.
We often also read that Shiva worships Ananta.
Ananta? Yeah, that's true. We all worship Ananta. That's why we're here today. Without Ananta, there's nothing. Beginning of the end.
Sankarsana.
Oh, that one. Okay. Thanks for making the distinction.
So what's the book?
Yeah, that's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the fifth canto. There's a whole section on the glories of Ananta and Sankarshan, yeah. So yeah, there is the Ram manifestation, I think. The connection? I'm not sure of the connection. But yeah, he does. He also worships Ananta or Sankarsana. Ananta is an expansion of Sankarsana, which is an expansion of Lord Balaram.
Because also in Chaitanya Lila Advaita, which is Sada Shiva and Nityananda, that's Sankarsana there.
Yeah. Yeah, there are five manifestations of Lord Nityananda. One of them is Ananta. Yeah. Or Sankarsan. Sometimes they use the same term. Ananta he's the multi-headed serpent at the bottom of the universe. That here's what the scientist calls as gravity. People they call it, you know, what holds up the universe. Well, it's Ananta, and he's a white snake. He's whitish in color. Yeah, so everything you say is correct. There's nothing I can say to add to that, yeah. But as Shiva plays many roles, you know, he's definitely... And if someone worships Shiva as the Supreme Lord, we don't tell them not to. Continue to worship Shiva as the Supreme Lord, and if they do, they will gradually start coming to worship Krishna, because Shiva will bring him. And this happens. There are many devotees in our movement, and there are many other persons who worship Shiva and came to Krishna through Shiva. Many. Because if you worship Shiva nicely, he takes you to Vishnu, to Krishna, like that. And that pleases him more if you worship like that. There's a deity in Navadvip, in one of the islands. It's called Harihara. Mm-hmm. don't know if you've seen it. It's half white and half dark. And it's indication of that, of Shiva and Vishnu in one form like that. Hari Hara. And there's some pastime connected with that, but I'm not sure of the details. Do we have any Shiva Bhaktas here? Anybody want to be a Shiva Bhakta? No, okay, see, there you go. That's the spirit, because if you worship the pure devotee, or who is the best of all Vaishnavas, Prabhupada said that's higher than worshiping the Lord. But because it pleases Shiva, if we worship Krishna, we worship Krishna. But we don't worship Shiva, but we honor Shiva. That's the point. We honor Shiva. And we pray to Shiva, please give me Krishna Bhakta. Please make me a devotee of the Lord. Do you have a question there?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, yes. There is also a lecture on Facebook. And Avaduta Raya Prabhu is asking also, I read Shiva mostly worship Ram, but there is an interesting prayer by Shiva, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Kripa Kataksha Stotra. What is the story that he started to worship Radharani?
Ooh. Nice question. And there is an answer. I'm not too sure of the connection, but that prayer is there. I think there is a past time where Radha and Krishna came to the abode of Kailash. And when they came, then Shiva offered beautiful prayers, and that's the connection. Yeah. There's one particular pastime where he honored Radha and Krishna. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj tells another particular pastime, which I don't really know the details, where Krishna is telling Radharani that Shiva is the best of all devotees. And Radharani's questioning, and then Krishna's answering her question, then she comes up with another question. Well, he hangs around crematoriums, yes, but he carries snakes, yes, but his followers are all ghosts and spirits, yes. But then Krishna defeats all her arguments and establishes Shiva as the best of all worship. I wish I remembered the details. That's a beautiful, beautiful pastime. So the connection between Shiva and Radha and Krishna are there. So those prayers are actually very, very deep felt prayers. But I don't know the pastime that brought about those prayers. All I know that he did honor Radha and Krishna. I'm sorry for the person who asked the question. I can't give you a complete answer, but please continue to ask your questions until you find your answer, because there is an answer. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.